Good morning, church. So glad to be here. So good to see all of you. Is your heart settled yet? Or still thinking about the election? I hope your heart is settled and clear your mind and let us focus on God and listen to His word. Amen. All right. For you who visiting us, and we are covering the five shortest books in the Bible. They are Obadiah, Philemon, 2 John, 3 John, and Jude. Each book contains one chapter. So this morning, we will come together to learn from the book of 3 John. The sermon title this morning is Share the Life in Suffering. 3 John has 14 verses, and I will be using NIV. This morning, please pray together with me. Pray that the Holy Spirit of God will empower me to speak clearly and proclaim His word with boldness and strength, so that we will be strengthened and sanctified by His word. Let us commit this time to our Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word that we can read every day, and we can hear from You, and we can come to You and find strength through Your word, and come to know more of You through Your word, O Lord. And we give thanks every Sunday we can come together as brother and sister in Christ to worship together and to hear Your word. And let Your word continue sanctify and make us righteous before You. Help us to walk the way that is pleasing to You and the way You want us to walk, O Lord. Father, we commit this morning into Your hand, and You help Your servant to preach Your word clearly, and help all of us with a fertile land in our heart, and the seed we sow in it can be multiplied manifold, O Lord. Thank You, Father, in Jesus' name. Okay, so please have your Bibles open. I shall read from 3 John chapter 1 to 4, verse 1 to 14. Hear then what the Holy Scriptures say. The elder to my dear friends Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well. It gave me great joy when some believers came and testified about your faithfulness to the truth, telling how you continue to walk in it. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. Dear friend, you are faithful in what you are doing for the brothers and sisters, even though they are strangers to you. They have told the church about your love. Please send them on their way in the manner that honors God. It was for the sake of the name that they went out, receiving no help from the pagans. We ought therefore to show hospitality to such people so that they may work together for the truth. I wrote to the church, but Diotrephus, who loves to be first, will not welcome us. So, when I come, I will call attention to what he is doing, spreading malicious nonsense about us. Not satisfied with that, he even refused to welcome others believers. He also stopped those who want to do so and put them out of the church. Dear friend, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. Anyone who does what is good is from God. Anyone who does what is evil has not seen God. Demetrius is well spoken of by everyone and even by the truth itself. We also speak well of him, and you know that our testimony is truth. I have much to write to you, but I do not want to do so with pen and ink. I hope to see you soon, and we will talk face to face. Peace to you. The friends here send their greeting. Greet the friends there by name. This is the word of the Lord. You see, this little letter gives us a glimpse into an early assembly and its people and its problem. We can see that the battle for truth and against the servant of God and the people of God who live in the truth is found in the early church. As you read this brief letter, you will find yourself saying, we have similar problem today in the church. Is that right? So familiar. That's why we know God's words is timeless, and it is true 1,000 years ago, and it is still applied to us today. Therefore, may today's passage and the Word of God will really give us a good understanding of His church and His people and the things that can happen to a church. 3 John is a very personal letter addressed to Gaius, one of the leaders of the assembly. John also discussed two other men whom he mentioned their names specifically, Diotrephes and Demetrius, and those who serve God. We can see that in verse 5 to 8. The key verse of this passage is this, verse 11, dear friend, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. Anyone who does what is good is from God. Anyone who does what is evil has not seen God. This morning, let each of us honestly take this word into our heart. Am I living for God? Do I truly know God and live in truth? Or do I live for my own selfish desire, which is evil, and I actually do not know God? Keep this in your heart as I unpack the passage for you. From verse 1 to 8, we can see that at this time, John is in his old age. So we estimate John right now is about in his 70 or 80 years old. He was the last disciple alive from the original 12 disciples. What we can learn from John from here is how he loved the people of God as an apostle, an elder, and the last disciple appointed by Jesus, who seen Jesus, who touched Jesus, who was loved by Jesus in flesh. So we definitely can learn a lot from him. So first thing first, I want you to see, John is so humble and he's full of love. He speaks passionately to Gaius. He called Gaius, my dear friend, or dearly beloved in King James Version, whom I love in the truth. And he also called Gaius, my children. You gave me great joy. It is a genuine love from a true shepherd of God toward God's beloved children. He loved Gaius like a father loved his own child. He rejoiced with Gaius because Gaius do well in his walk in the truth. He encouraged and strengthened Gaius to walk in the truth. You see, Apostle John, although he was the last apostle, a disciple of Jesus, who touched Jesus, seen Jesus, lived with Jesus, but he did not carry himself as such that he's high and mighty. He's like so high in seniority toward the people, but he came to them with love, like a father to the people of God. With humility, he journeyed with them, he encouraged them, and he speak to them in love. Like Paul told Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 11 to 12, "For you know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live life worthy of God, who calls you into his kingdom and glory." In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7b to verse 8, "Just as a nursing mother cares for her children, so we care for you. Because we love you so much, we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. Dear brother and sister, as a believer, beloved children of God, when God places someone in your life to care for them, love them as your spiritual children. Encourage them, comfort them, care for them, and urge them to live in the truth. If God calls you to be a leader to care for his people, be it as an elder, deacon, pastor, CG leaders, ministry leaders, team leaders, you are a shepherd of God. You are not placed in the position to demand from others or lords over others, but to serve them and love them in truth and encourage them to live in truth. Love them like a father, like a spiritual father, like a spiritual mother. That is the kind of love the Apostle John showed to us, how he loved the children of God as his own children. He will give, like Apostle Paul said, "I will even give my life for you." Brother and sister, today, many problems happen in the church because the leaders see the church as their own corporate setting, as their own kingdom. They lords over others. They order people around. They build their own kingdom and for their own glory. And that causes problems in the church. That doesn't glorify God whatsoever. And you will surely see problems in that church. You will definitely see division, different small group gang up in that church. But here, Apostle John showed us that is not the way to be the leader in a church. But like a shepherd, but like a father, like a mother, love them, encourage them, care for them, rejoice with them, walk with them. Serving in ministry and in church is not a job or a task to show your performance, to show how good you are. It is to serve others, to love, to care, and to build others up in truth. It is to point others to Jesus, not to ourselves. When we serve with a motive to show our performance, to show how good I am, to want to have power, we are glorifying ourselves, not God. When we serve to gain popularity for ourselves, when we labor to gather people for ourselves instead of pointing them to Jesus, we are building our own kingdom, not God's kingdom. Only when we give ourselves for others in service as servant of God, love them, care for them, encourage them to live in the truth for God and to point them to Jesus, then we are truly serving God. Here is the shocking news for you. Knowing the truth without living the truth is not pleasing to God, because it meant you don't know God and you don't have God in your heart. Performing for God, to do greater things for God, but you don't have love for others, is not pleasing to God, because you actually do not know God. That is why our Lord told us in Matthew chapter 12, verse 7, if you have know what these words mean, I desire mercy, not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the innocent. And the Apostle Paul told us in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1 to 3, if I speak in the tongue of man or of angel, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mystery and all knowledge, and if I have the faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I have nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship, that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. You see that? Doesn't matter how good you are, how much you perform, how much you give, how much you sacrifice, but if you do not have love, there is nothing. You gain nothing. You are nothing, because you do not know God. John did not love Gaius for himself. John loved Gaius in truth. John loved Gaius by encouraging him to live in truth, to know the truth, and to walk in truth. We can see how John commends Gaius for his faithfulness, working in the kingdom of God. Notice the gushing praise John has for Gaius. Gaius is helping out Christian brother, even though he does not know them. These Christian brothers are testifying about the love of Gaius has shown for them. In verse 7 to 8, give the picture that Gaius is showing hospitality and giving financial support to these Christians who are evangelized in various areas. He is supporting the workers in God's kingdom and help them be sent out on their mission into the world. This is a beautiful picture of the love Gaius has displayed for the brothers. You see, John loved Gaius for that. John said, this is the right way, Gaius. You love your brothers. You support them. You care for them. You use the resources that God provides to you, and you care for your brothers who serve God, who labor for the kingdom of God. And I love you for that. And I want to encourage you, continue walk in that truth. You see, brother and sister, this is how a leader should be in the church of God, to be encouraging, to be supportive, to labor together, to encourage each other, to serve God, to labor for God, to use our financial provided by God, and knowing that our financial is provided by God. We always think that my money is from me, it's made by me. I have every right to it. If you think like that, you will think so highly of yourself, because how much you give to church, how much you give to the people to serve God. No, our financial, our everything provided by God. So you know, because God has provided me so much, this is the portion I want to use it for the kingdom of God. And God has loved me so much, this is how I should love my brothers and sisters. You see, if we don't encourage each other, if we don't care for one another, the other person will not be able to thrive and do well in the kingdom of God. So that's why we look at John and we see this great example to encourage, to love, to give himself for the people of God. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 40 to 42, our Lord Jesus told his disciples, "Anyone who welcomes you welcomes me. Anyone who welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet as a prophet will receive a prophet reward. And whoever welcomes a righteous person as a righteous person will receive a righteous person reward. And if anyone gave even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones who is my disciple, truly I tell you, that person will certainly not lose their reward." In Matthew chapter 25, verse 31 to 46, our Lord Jesus continued to teach this important truth, very similar, in parable. That's how important it is. That's why he said, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory," Matthew chapter 25, verse 31 to 46, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goat. He will put the sheep in his right and the goat on his left. Then the king will say to those on the right," which is the sheep, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance. The kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, you invite me in. I need clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, you look after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?" The righteous one said, "Lord, we didn't do that to you." And the king will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." Then he will say to those on his left, which is the goat, "Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angel. For I was hungry and you gave me nothing to eat, and I was thirsty, you gave me nothing to drink. I was stranger and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison and you do not look after me." They will also answer, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and thirsty or stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you? We didn't see you." And the king replied, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of this," this is the disciple of God, the children of God, "you did not do for me." Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. Can you see that? There is no place for us not to care and love and say that and claim that we know God and claim that we have eternal life. Not among a work you do in church, but without love, but for your own glory, you can claim the eternal life from God because you do not know God. And the king will say, I do not know you. I do not know you. The principle we learn is that of love in generosity toward those who proclaim and teach the gospel. In another word, those who serve God faithfully. Give them even a cup of cold water. Jesus said, you do that to me. It is an important principle from the fact that we love our brothers and sisters in Christ. And we have God in our heart because God first loved us and we are born of God. Teacher Lee Sun just shared that. Born again. You are born of God because God first loved us. And we have so much love in us and we should love others. Because we are in God and we are, and God is love and we are in His love. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 to 8, my favorite verse. Dear friend, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. 1 John chapter 4, verse 19 to 21. We love because He first loved us. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brothers and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And He has given us this command. Anyone who loves God must also love their brothers and sister. This is a very strong word. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. If you claim that you know God and you are in love in God, that means you are inside the love. How can you not love if you are inside God's love? If you don't love, meaning that you do not know God. Very often we also heard how one who serves faithfully can be so poorly treated by their brothers. How can one justify to God when you're poorly treating those who go all out to serve God? Either financially, physically, or emotionally. And very often we also heard how when one step up to serve in the ministry is being poorly treated and being used as resources. Dumb to dumb all the work without giving care, without love, without journey along, but expect them to perform well, to deliver, to meet unrealistic expectation without giving time to learn and time to progress, but there to criticize and to judge them. Be it full-time or volunteer, come into ministry to serve. It is so sad to see that. It is so sad to my heart whenever I see that. It is so wrong. This is a church of God. This is a place of love. When there's no love being displayed for those who want to serve God and want to live for God, it's wrong. It's very, very wrong. Very often we also see how pastor, preacher, full-time workers, or missionary are abused by their congregation or mission agent in consideration of receiving paid or pay raises. Many are treated as if they are being paid too much, even though they make very little. They barely scrape the bottom. And I know of it. It's the truth. And there is no room to act with such unkind and ungenerous toward those who have sacrificed their life to serve and proclaim the gospel. Surely, teaching the gospel and serving full-time are not a venture for money. No one should enter the work thinking about money, but the people of God should generously want to support and encourage those who do the work according to John in this passage. Make no mistake, brother and sister. You see, a preacher, a pastor, or a missionary is living on Lord's money that has been generously given by the brothers in the church. The workers must take his work seriously, or else he is stealing directly from God. The workers is accountable before God, and God will judge their work at the end of the day. So, brothers and sisters, you don't have to be the judge. We are called to love. We are called to support. We are called to encourage. I would also like to commend this morning to so many of you in this congregation for your generosity and your love for those who serve full-time. Your generosity has been shown over the decades toward those who proclaim the gospel afar and those who proclaim the gospel here in this city. I encourage you to continue with this generous heart because this is a faithful thing. This is how we live in the truth. And the Apostle John said that we ought to support such workers for the truth. And I also see so many of you pray faithfully, week after week, for those who serve to proclaim the gospel of God. I praise God for you. And more than that, I also must commend many of you who serve faithfully, give generously, and love genuinely toward one another with your time, your money, your energy, and your kindness. And many of you also serve with love, care, encouragement, and give quietly behind the scene to many others in our midst. I really rejoice to see how you live in the truth and walk in the truth. And I thank God and praise God and for you. And you know who you are. I pray that our congregation will learn from today's passage well, to live in truth and to walk in truth, to love and encourage like John in truth. Like Gaius, to live in the truth by loving, caring, supporting brother and sister who serve, and be generous to those who give up everything for the kingdom's work. And now, from verse 9 to 14, we can see that the letter now takes a turn from the praise of Gaius, who is excelling in the works, to his brother and sister toward another person, who need to be condemned by John. There is a person in the church where Gaius at, whose name is Diotrephes. John say that he loves to put himself first. This Diotrephes loves to put himself first. We do not know anything about what Diotrephes was doing except for what is revealed by John in this letter. The problem is very clear. This guy obviously pursued to be the important person in this church. Pursued to be first. He desired power. He need to be important. He need to be heard. He need people to pay attention to him. He need to have control. He need to be respected. He need people to focus on him. Basically, he need to get things in his way, and he need to be the boss of the church. This is completely contrary to the definition of being a disciple of Jesus. These people do not know God. Being a disciple of Jesus is to be humble and to be servant of all or slave of all. Being a disciple of Jesus is to put others ahead of ourselves. Being a disciple of Jesus means to placing the focus and the attention to build others up and not ourselves. But how these people come to be the leaders of the church? Surprise, right? You would ask yourself. But we see that in today's church. Very often, you have that kind of leaders in the church. And the people, especially in Baptist church, is very surprising. The people actually give that person the power to lead the church. So, brother and sister, when you decide the leaders to lead the church, decide carefully, pray carefully, and let the Holy Spirit to lead you. And do not let anything else influence you, but truly examine the person with the lens from God, with the lens from the Word of God. Mark chapter 10, verse 25 to 42 say, Jesus told his disciples, "You know that the ruler in this world lords it over their people, and the official flung their authority over those under them. But among you, it will be different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first among you must be the slave of everyone else. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others, and to give his life as a ransom for many." This is from Mark chapter 10, verse 42 to 45. We who want to be first, not that we want to be first, but we serve God, and God see you as first in his kingdom. And when you be the slave of all, and you serve all the people of God, and you labor for them, and God see you as first in his kingdom, and in his congregation, and with his people. It doesn't claim by yourself. It doesn't one thing by your own selfish desire. It is your love for God. And you put yourself down and be the lowly servant to serve the children of God. People like Diotrephes is in the church selfishly seeking his own interest to build his own kingdom, to glorify himself. These kind of people are not walking in the truth. These are the kind of sin happen very often in today's churches, where the truth of God is not being preached and taught truthfully and faithfully. Because without continuously sanctified from the Word of God, members of the church fall into this trap and cause problems because the sinful desire of self-seeking pride. Every one of us has it. But God's word is here to always warn us, to sanctify us, to cleanse us, to reminding us not to do so. But the word is not being preached faithfully. The word of God is not being proclaimed truthfully. The church, the people of God, will not be sanctified, will not be cleansed, will not to live the life that glorifies God. You will be happy, come to church. You will rejoice, you will sing, and you will dance. You will feel good. But you will not going to have the truth. The truth is painful because it's pruning you. The truth is painful because it sanctifies you, cleansing you, to want to urge you to do the things that your sinful flesh want to do. Your sinful flesh don't want to do, to urge you to do the thing that your sinful flesh don't want to do. That's why you feel the pain. But the truth will set you free, free from sin, free to love others, and free to love God. Pastor, preacher, elder, deacon, leader, fall into this trap and begin to lord their authority over the flock rather than caring and loving the flock in truth and for Christ. No longer they place God as the Lord of the church, but they themselves is the Lord of the church. Preachers fall into this trap when they're falling in love with being in front of the congregation, being popular, say the thing that the congregation loves to hear, and loving the attention that they receive and the praise that they receive. And this kind of preacher will not preach the truth. Because when you preach the truth, you're definitely not going to be popular. Because you will have to bring out this sword of God and pierce into each person. Because you want to separate them from the Lord, from the world to our Lord, to God. You want to sanctify them and set them apart for God and God only. And that is the kind of love every preacher, every teacher, every leader should have. To love the flock of God in truth, to walk in truth, and to know the truth, nothing else. This kind of preacher, instead of being true to the Word of God and focus on their calling to proclaim the words of truth as light into the lives of the congregation for the glory of God, they focus on their own glory. Jesus should be the only one in the church to receive the preeminence. Nobody else. Jesus should be the only one who receives all the glory and attention. Nobody else. Not the preacher, not the pastor, not the elder, deacon, or the leaders. We are just a lowly servant for His Majesty. We are not here to build legacy for ourselves. Many of preachers preach, we should build legacy. No, we are not here to build legacy for ourselves. We are not here for people to remember us when we pass from this life. No, we are here to be transformed by God, to be more like His Son, Jesus Christ, to follow Jesus' example, to love and to serve like Him. Glory belongs to Jesus. Glory belongs to our mighty God. Paul told us in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 to 2, follow God's example, mean follow Jesus' example. Therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. We are to give ourselves up to others as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Dearly beloved, we are to live as children of God for the glory of God. And that should be the most satisfying things for us to pursue, because our fathers in heaven will be glorified. Is that what you pursue? Is that what will truly satisfy you when our fathers in heaven will be glorified? anything other than that is evil in the eyes of God. Notice some of the action of Diotrephes. He's speaking against the apostle, the arrogance of rejecting the word of God so that he can be put first. Further, Diotrephes has taken so much power to himself that he refused to receive support and help those Christian brethren who serve in the kingdom works. Not only that, he slandered them. He also pursued others not to receive and support them. Does that sound familiar? Those brother and sister wanted to help and support. He put them out of the church. That tells you, this guy, Diotrephes, has great influence in the church. You might wonder, how can guys like this can be so powerful in this church? We see that in the book of Gospel, how the religious leader, the Pharisee, the Sadducee, get all the power and influence. They can even influence the Roman governor to persecute Jesus. However, this kind of people, intention are evil. Their motivation is self-serving. Their desire is for their own power and glory. And John told Gaius, do not follow the example of this kind of people, because he witnessed how Jesus, his Lord and his friend and his king, being persecuted by this kind of people. And he told Gaius, do not follow example of this kind of people. And he's saying to him, dear friend, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. Anyone who does what is good is from God. Anyone who does what is evil has not seen God. Basically, John is saying, this kind of people do not know God and do not have God in their heart. Do not follow them. Do not imitate them, because they are the blind guiding the blind. Brother and sister in Christ, you may have heard by people like Diotrephes. I believe so, many of you. You may have felt the pain and hurt in you. I would like to tell you this morning, do not give up on God just because some goat in the church. Do not give up in serving. Do not give up in loving your brother and sister. Do not give up. Continue. Bring glory to God because you have been hurt by some goat. Because in the church, there will be goat. There will be wheat, tares, crabgrass, and look like wheat. Some goat pretend to be sheep. People who claim to be Christian in the church, but there's no love for God, nor God's people. But doing evil and destructive work in church make your life difficult, give you hard time, push you out of the church because you are not his gang. I want to urge you, continue to persevere in your walk with God. Continue to be the light in the church. Continue to do good and serve. Continue to pray for the church. Our God is a living God, and he sees and knows everything. Every tear from you that cry out to him will not go to waste. He hears your prayer and your submissive heart to obey him and your cry out to him. He hears it. It is in the Bible. There will be told us that there will be goat among the sheep. There will be wheat among the wheat. That means the tares among the wheat. There will be good fish and bad fish together in the ocean. But our Lord Jesus told us in Matthew chapter 13, verse 30, let both grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvester, first collect the tares and tied them in bundles to be burned. Then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn. Matthew chapter 13, verse 41 to 43. The Son of Man will send out his angel, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. They will throw them into the blazing furnace where there will be weeping and gushing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Whoever has ear, let them hear. You see, persevere, continue, do good. Because at the end, God will be the judge. God will vengeance. And God will take out those who do evil. And God will honor those who live righteously before his eyes. In verse 12, John prays Dimitri, who have a good testimony from everyone. Dimitri is one of the good guys. He makes us wonder, if Dimitri is one who have been cast out of the church by Diotrephes, maybe, have been slandered by Diotrephes, possible. Listen to the high praise that Dimitri received, and it is a goal for our life. Not only does Dimitri have a good testimony from all the brethren, but he also has received good testimony by walking in the truth. Dimitri's devotion to the truth was self-evident. The brothers see it. And there is the fruit of the Spirit bearing through him. His life was consistent with the truth revealed in God's word. Walking in the truth means we take a step back, humble ourselves, and quietly walk in the kingdom of the Lord. He quietly walking in the truth, serving in the truth, living in the truth, persevere in the truth. And everyone see it. And even Apostle John and his people see it. He is the brother who lives in the truth. This kind of people put Jesus first, not themselves. Finally, in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8 to 9, finally, all of you be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On contrary, repay evil with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. In suffering, persevere. Do not pay evil with evil, brother and sister. There will be Diotrephes in the church. There will be goat in the church. But do not pay evil with evil, but pay evil with blessing. Because to this you will call. But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Even you do this, you suffer by the people. You will be pushed and you will be treated illly by Diotrephes. It's okay. Endure the suffering. Count that as blessing. Do not fear their threat. Do not be frightened. But in your heart, revere Christ as Lord. Worship him. Set your eyes on God. Endure through it. And knowing our God is a living God. And he's a sovereign God. And he's still in control. And this is his church. And this is his people. Always set your hope in him. And verse 16 said, First Peter chapter 3, verse 16 said, keeping a clear conscience so that those who speak malicious against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. For it is better, if it is God's will, to suffer from doing good than for doing evil. It's okay to suffer from doing good, but we continue to do good. And in Romans chapter 12, verse 18 to 21, if it is possible, as far as depend on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friend, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, said the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed them. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coal on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Dear brothers, you hear that? We do not have to take the things into our own hand. We do not have to pay evil with ourselves, because then you will sin against God. But pay evil with good. Pay evil with blessing. Pray for that Diotrephes. Pray that he will come to know God. Pray that God will have mercy on him. Pray that God will reveal himself to that person so that you can gain a brother or a sister. Persevere through it. Set our eyes on God. Do good. Dear beloved, so I would say, take courage and do not be disheartened and discouraged by those who do evil to make your life difficult in church. Repay blessing to them. Pray for them. Come to know God. Pray for God's mercy and grace work in their life. If they continue harden their heart, you will be the witness, testify their sin against God. Therefore, dear friends, my brother and my sister in Christ, if you suffer, continue to do good. Never weary from doing good. At last, I want to leave you with this verse from Galatians chapter 6, verse 7b to 10. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Let us commit this time to our Lord in prayer. Dear and Father, I want to praise you and I want to thank you for your word, O Father. Father, we know your church is not a perfect place. And you told us in your word, there will be goat among the sheep. There will be tares among the wheat. There will be bad fish among the good fish. There will be evil sowing seed in your church. There will be evil cause destruction in your church. But Father, for those who call by you, who love by you, who know you, help us to persevere, to stay fast, abide in you, set our eyes on you, set our hope on you, knowing that through us, even though we suffer, we can bless because we are so blessed by you. We are so loved by you. Even in our suffering, we can love because we are so loved by you. Even in our weakness, we have strength because strength comes from you. Father, have us be persevere in suffering and do good in suffering and continue serve our brother and sister, love our brother and sister, encourage one another, and to live the life that would glorify you. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.